Today he'd be on all sorts of antidepressant drugs, but they weren't available in those days. So he suffered dreadfully in his life with depression. But through his life, he wrote some wonderful stuff, wonderful poetry as well. This is the first verse of a piece he wrote. "What peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet their memory still. But they have left an aching void the world can never fill." He'd been close to God at one point, and for one reason or another he drifted away. He felt he drifted away. And there was an emptiness in his life, and he realized that nothing in the world could fill that emptiness. That emptiness was God's place. And nothing in the world could fill it. A gap year wouldn't fill it. Bungee jumping wouldn't fill it. A season ticket at Anfield wouldn't fill it. Strictly Come Dancing wouldn't fill it. I'm just rambling. You know what I mean? Nothing would fill it, because it was God's place, and he'd lost touch with God. And he felt bad. He just wanted to struggle to scrabble his way back to God. Paul puts it differently. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." Don't be separated from the Holy Spirit of God. That comes from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7 to 10. Paul is talking, Isaiah here is talking about everything that's gone on with Israel, and the things that have gone on, what God wished for them, and how it really didn't work out that well. And "I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord," he writes, "the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, 'Surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me.' And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and himself fought against them." We showed earlier on Stuart Townend and his band singing Salvation Song, all about how we've been called, how we've been chosen, and been called by God to be his people, and all that God's done for us. And yet, somehow, sometimes we walk away from it. We just shut the doors. We switch off and leave God alone. And the Holy Spirit has been given to each of us as an interface with God. You know what I mean by interface? It's a modern word, but it's a good word. It's a great word to use. He's our interface with God. Look, if you use your interface, there was one occasion, my son came into the room, and one of us in the family, remained nameless, was trying to get the computer to switch on. It wouldn't switch on. And my son, being an electronic engineer and a bit of a know-it-all in that sense, was an electronic engineer, and I had that dry sense of humour that all electronic engineers have. He just walked up and put the plug in the wall. He said, "First interface it with the mains." And the Holy Spirit is our interface with God. Maybe if your modem link goes down, You lose your connection with the web. You lose that interface. If your sat nav goes off, you lose your interface with your guidance system. If you lose contact, if you and I lose contact with the Holy Spirit of God, God ceases to work in our lives, and we're left with this gaping void, this aching hole that Cowper talked of, is an aching void that the world can never fill. If we grieve the Holy Spirit of God who's in us, we lose our spiritual power, we lose our divine guidance, the scriptures go dead with us, and our spiritual life nosedives. And you don't want that, do you? You certainly don't want that. Grieve the Holy Spirit. And some people Tell you what some people do, they fake it. They grieve the Holy Spirit in their life. They allow things to happen in their lives which grieve the Holy Spirit, which switch the Holy Spirit off. But they think they ought to carry on as before. So they put their church face on and they pretend it's still all happening for them. Though in reality, it isn't. And that way, they feel great, they can come on, they feel an emotion in church, they put everything into it. It's not really there, because they're grieving the Holy Spirit. They're just putting a face on it, putting a facade on it. Like one of these film sets, you know, just that looks like a Gothic, or it looks like a Greek temple. Actually, it's just plywood behind with a facing on, you know? So people like that. So Paul tells us, In chapter 4, verse 30, let's have this verse up on the screen now. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't switch off the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That is at the central part of the second part of the book of Ephesians. First part's all about Jesus and how his work saves us and redeems us and cleanses us and gives us a future and a hope, and his power is released in this. The second part of the book is all about how to let that Holy Spirit of God guide us without turning him off, without switching off all that power that Jesus has given us in the first half of the book, as Paul's explained. So what kind of things would grieve the Holy Spirit? How would I grieve the Holy Spirit of God? How would I grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Well, let's look at verse 29. First, I would grieve the Holy Spirit of God if I let unwholesome talk come out of my or our mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. The Christian poet Steve Turner wrote, sticks and stones can only break your bones, but words can tear your heart out. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your minds. Have you ever been associated with someone whose conversation in public embarrasses you? Yes. Were they Christians? Ouch. Okay? Unwholesome talk, grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You just say stupid things. And dumb story, I suppose. I was once driving my car on the road to the Amazon forest, and it broke down. It broke down, fortunately, next to a government VAT inspection. They have these places along where they inspect VAT certificates of all produce being good. It's like the old-fashioned toll booth, really. Same sort of thing. And these guys who man them are very intelligent people and usually bored out of their minds sitting in a baking hot, dusty wooden hut just checking VAT returns. And so when my car broke down in front of them, it just spiced up their day a bit. And one of them turned out to have been a mechanic in his previous life before he became a VAT inspector. And he much preferred fixing cars to looking at VAT receipts. So he took over. And he turned out to be a first-class mechanic, but he was a bit of a character. And had a very disordered life, as it turns out. His mate was a solid family kind of guy, you know? So he looks at my car, opens up the front. It's an old Volkswagen Beetle, glorious thing. Some of you have had Volkswagen Beetles, best car in the world. And he looked around and he found a crack in the distributor cap. It just cracked. Very unusual, but it cracked. And at that point, I thought, we're lost. But he, being a very good mechanic, said, I can fix this. He said, all I need is some nail varnish. Well, don't carry any in my car. Yeah, but look, actually, you know, being a guitarist, a bit of clear nail varnish on my guitar fingers is actually a very good idea. I commend it to all guitarists. But anyway, he said, not a problem, because just down the road was, I'm sorry about this, but there was a brothel just down the road at the filling station. And this was the point where the conversation turned, because he was obviously well acquainted with the place, and said, "Oh, I'll just go and borrow some nail varnish from." I really don't want to tell you what he said. And so he disappeared down the road, happy that I'd not have to look at VAT returns for another half hour. Came back, sure enough, bless the lady, whoever she may be, God bless her, with a nail varnish which she donated to the evangelical cause, albeit unwittingly. And so he goes slapping on nail varnish. You know, incidentally, if this ever happens to you, it works. You just got to put a lot of coats on to seal it. But while he was doing it, he began making comments about the effect the nail varnish was going to have on my car. All right? I'm not going to even go down that road. Your imagination's already running away with you. Stop that, please. He just began to make comments. And his mate was saying, "Shut up. Stop talking nonsense." And this was going to happen. His comments were getting dirtier and filthier. And his mate was dying of embarrassment. "Shut up. Just quiet, you know." So anyway, this guy's slapping the nail varnish on. After about six coats and about 100 dirty jokes and so on, I was just keeping quiet. This guy was fixing my car. I wasn't going to say a word. And at the end of it, he says, "By the way," he said, "what do you do?" But at this point, there was no way out of it. And so I say, "Oh, I'm the pastor of the Baptist church in Sinope." Well, the guy just wanted the ground to open up and swallow him. He just collapsed. And his friend said, "I told you not to talk rubbish, you know. Unwholesome talk." The classic example. By the way, he fixed, bless him, the car went perfectly. Missed a few beats, but it got me 50 miles down the road. If it ever happens to you, it does work. Embarrassing the Holy Spirit, what I say. Have you? You embarrassed the Holy Spirit by what you've said this week? Probably at some point or other all of us have. I think we need to be honest with ourselves and with God. Ever wanted to wash your mouth out with soap and water? Ever felt like that? Of course you have. Of course you have. Please don't pretend you haven't. It'll do you no good pretending you haven't. Be honest. You shouldn't have said it, but you did. You did. And you need to repent, because you grieved the Holy Spirit when you did that. You need to sort that out with the Spirit of God. You see where I'm going? So we'll go on to the next verse then, 31a. Get rid of all bitterness. The world is full of bitter people. Churches have bitter people in them as well. They do. Things have gone wrong. A marriage went bust. A business went bust. Legal problems. Problems at work. Health went, maybe. And people become bitter. Have you ever seen those horrible pictures of birds that have been caught in an oil slick? You know, a ship has sunk, spread this oily, tarry stuff all over the place, and these poor birds just get caught in it. And they're beautiful, beautiful creatures. You see, if you're here in the summer, students hanging around long enough, go to South Stacks and see these seabirds. You know, 3,000 seabirds resting on the cliffs of South Stack. It's one of the most beautiful sights in North Wales. These beautiful creatures, and you see them, they're just magnificent. And then you see them on the news, dying, covered in tar. That's bitterness. That's like bitterness around a Christian. It just suffocates the light out of them. So Paul says, get rid of it. There's no way. Don't try and live with your bitterness. Learn to get over it. Get over it. Learn to give it up to God. Deal with it. See a counselor if you have to, but get rid of the bitterness. It's dragging you down. And then 31b, get rid of all bitterness, he says. Get rid of all rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Have you not noticed how aggressive Great Britain has become? I've got the map here, look at it. Still the same outline as it always was, except that it is so aggressive. I went to prison once to speak to the Christian Union. Now, yes, prisons do have Christian unions. And I had a great time. I don't think I've ever felt so at home among a group of people as I did in the open prison. The psychologists among you will draw your own conclusion. I just felt at home. I just arrived back in this country from abroad. Nobody wanted to know me. Nobody wanted to employ me. Nobody well, nobody cared, really. I just felt abandoned and adrift, you know. And these guys were all in open prison, shortly to be released. And I realized as I began talking to them, they were feeling the same thing. So we just hit it off, you know. And we began talking about Britain. They sat down and said, just fascinated by my experience, they said, "Peter, what do you notice has changed about Britain? Are you coming back to it?" I stopped. I said, "You know, it's become aggressive." And they said, "You're dead right, you know. Dead right." Now, my daughter works in accident emergency down in London. And they had, you know, a lot of people through accident emergency on Tuesdays, people falling over on the ice, fractures and so on. But she said, "Dad, you know what shocked me? We had so many people through accident emergency put here because groups of children had attacked them with snowballs. And they'd ended up in accident emergency." Now, I'd read about it on the news. I didn't believe it. But my daughter said, "It's true." And actually, the grapevine of nurses, accident emergency staff, is it's happened all over the country. Groups of children ganging up and knocking people to the ground and hurting them. People ending up in accident emergency. That's this country. That's it. Rage, anger, brawling, slander, sarcasm. Just read what happens in the media. How few wholesome, positive articles there are in the media. Look, read them. It's just there. You know, it's all the dirt of Britain just poured over in the media. That's Britain. And the trouble is, it gets into the church. Actually, at times it's got into our church. If you talk to Neil, who's an expert on the church archives, Neil will tell you about problems there have been in our church over 140 years of our church's existence. There have been problems, dark periods. We've had to repent as a church and say, "God, we've moved on from there. Please forgive us." But just that anger, that sort of rage. Get rid of it, says Paul. Road rage, any kind of rage. Get rid of it. I once pastored a church, and Susan will tell you all about it too. It was a difficult church, and we went through in the end, more or less. But they used to argue so much, you know, in the church business. He said, "I just used to do my head in." I talked to one of my friends in church, and I said, "Look, you know." They'd all moved from another part of Brazil. I said, "Look, you know, this church business meeting is doing my head in. You know, everybody's arguing." He said, "Oh, Pastor," he said, no, this is no problem at all. Back home where we came from, people used to go armed to the church business meeting." I said, "I tell you what, this is good. This is good. I'll take this. This is fine. No, we'll just keep on, you know." Can you imagine what happens in that kind of church? Get rid of it, says Paul. That's grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of it. And then on to verse 32. Things that please the Holy Spirit. Kindness. Compassion. Forgiving. As Christ forgave us, you know. Just being kind and compassionate can suddenly change things. So soon after I moved here, my family was still living down in Bristol because my daughter was in the sick form. So I was up here on my own, went to the laundrette one day, just over the road from here. And I took a book to read, and I was just working on a sermon and stuff while I was sitting there. And this girl was sitting next to me, and she was in a bit of a bad mood. She was talking to the woman who ran the laundrette at the time. She's going back many years. And the machine swallowed a pound coin, and so she began effing and blinding, and everything was wrong, and she was just going berserk because now the final straw of her rotten day was the machine had swallowed her effing pound coin. I remember I had a pound coin in my pocket, so I just put my hand in my pocket, took it out, said, "Yeah, you are, it's a pound coin." And she kind of, there was silence, you know, like something like this had never happened in her whole life before, you know what I mean? She said, "Well, no, it's all right." I said, "No, go on." I said, "Okay, if a pound solves your problem, it's problem solved, you know. It's no problem to me, I'm just going back to my book." And no, she said, "That's so kind, that's so sweet of you, gosh, that is nice of you. No, don't worry about it, she'll lend me a pound, it'll be all right." You know, suddenly the swearing stopped, the rage stopped, you know, just simple being kind, just... how that can change. You know, the Spirit of God can change things. Spirit of God does gentle things. Compassion, feeling, story. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a story. Paul says this is how you should be in church. Some churches are not like that. Some churches are just looking down on you the whole time. If you slip up, they will not be compassionate with you. Asbo Jesus, of course, has many, many, many cartoons like this. And I'm now just going to show you one of them. Here he goes. It's from Asbo Jesus. Just when you thought it was safe to go back into church, it says. And there's this little guy swimming in the ocean, a great big shark underneath. And what you can't see at the bottom of the screen, it doesn't show on the screen, is the shark's name is called Judgment. Judgment. And that's I think this guy's been hurt in a number of churches or at least the church. It comes out in his cartoons. But some churches are like that. You know, just a shark waiting. Paul says, get rid of it. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Jane. And forgiveness. I came across this quote from Spurgeon. Whenever it snows, I usually read a bit from Charles Spurgeon's conversion story. Great preacher, perhaps the greatest preacher of the British preacher of the 19th century. He writes this about the day he became a Christian. It was snowing. A long story, but I'll read it out to you another time. It's one of the best pieces of Christian literature ever written. But on the way home, he writes this: my life was full of sorrow and wretchedness, believing that I was lost. But oh, the blessed gospel of the God of grace came to me, and with it a sovereign word, deliver him. And I, who was but a minute before as wretched as a soul could be, could have danced for the very merriment of heart. And as the snow fell on my road home from the little house of prayer, I thought every snowflake talked with me and told of the pardon I had found, for I was white as the driven snow through the grace of God. He discovered forgiveness. But years later, he wrote this: to be forgiven is such sweetness that honey is tasteless in comparison with it. But yet, there is one thing sweeter still, and that is to forgive. As it is more blessed to give than to receive, so to forgive rises a stage higher in experience than to be forgiven. That is the experience of the years. And so just finally, just to look quickly at verses 1 to 2 of chapter 5. It kind of sums it all up, really. Paul says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. I can grieve the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, I lose something desperately important. William Cowper, I read to you the first verse of his hymn. Let me read you the second. Return, thou sacred dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. Beautiful, but not quite true. Nearly true, but not quite. Not quite true, because the Holy Spirit had never gone away. The Holy Spirit had never left him. But he just grieved the Holy Spirit. He'd broken down his relationship with the Holy Spirit. They weren't talking to each other anymore. Grief is related to love. You can't grieve someone who doesn't love you. Isn't that true? You can't grieve someone who doesn't love you. You can only grieve someone who loves you dearly. And that's behind this verse, because the Holy Spirit loves you dearly. And he loves me dearly. And that's why he grieves when we do wrong. It's not that he's judging us. He's so sorry that someone he loves so much has broken the communications with him.